1 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Ask you if you will stand in honor of reading God's word with us this morning. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5, make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this evening, this morning, as we worship you, as we look at this message you've laid upon my heart, Father. I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, may every word that's spoken be honorable and be in integrity of accordance to your word. May your name be proclaimed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today is the last message in the word serve. We've been going through a sermon series for the word serve, S-E-R-V-E. Each week we have looked at the first letter as an acrostic, the first letter defining or giving us an example of what serving God should look like. So as I shared with you today, we come to the letter E, to conclusion of this series. But first, just kind of recap the first letter and serve, S, see the future. We need to see the future, see what God's doing and join Him at work. In other words, as we looked at that, we talked about how we need to have a teachable heart, how we need to have a sacrificial heart, and how we need to have a prayerful heart. And then as we move forward, E, or serve, engage and develop others. We must trust in, we must be nourished for, and we must surrender to the Lord. So we need to be engaged in service to Him. Letter R brought us to, as we had graduates who are graduating sixth this year, letter R standing for rise to the challenge. Rise to the challenge. We need faith to rise to the challenge. We need faith in our journey. We need faith to face opposition. We need faith to finish. Letter V last week we looked at value relationships. We value relationships with a gentle spirit. We value relationships by carrying burdens. We value relationships by allowing time. This week, the letter E is going to be the example of Jesus. There's no one else who we should look to give us the example of how to serve, when to serve, and where to serve. We should look no further than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He gave us the example of service. And as we see within our text, within our scripture, there's several different things that's very important for us to not miss. But most importantly is this. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll look at that a little more closely as we move through this morning's message. But I want to ask you a couple of questions. Did Jesus always agree with everybody? No. Jesus didn't always agree with everybody. Did Jesus always love everyone? Yes. Did Jesus have some happenings or things taking place around Him that maybe frustrated Him? Yes. He had some things that took place during His life that frustrated Him. But every step of the way during His service, He always loved. He always encouraged people to love one another He always encouraged people, most importantly, to love the Father. To have love for God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The way we understand serving is by observing the best person who served, that being Jesus. So we need to recognize how important it is for us to serve as a body of believers. And it really grabbed my attention this morning as I was getting ready for the message. It really encouraged me. I was just overheard a conversation between Randy and Wade, and they were talking about the message that we were going through and how that they really honed in on the word serve. Randy was talking to Wade and he said, you know, this series we've been going through, serve, really grabbed my attention. How we need to serve one another. He said, Wade, I've got a way for us to serve one another, and I think it can be done very easily. He said, I'm thinking about opening up a coin laundry close to the church. And Wade just fell in love with it. Wade said, I know what the name is. I know exactly what the name is, this coin laundry, where cleanliness is next to godliness. Where cleanliness is next to godliness. It's important for us as we serve, that may be as Willis Kelly would say, that's a joke. But as we serve, God never intended for us to be selfish. God never intended for us to be a stick in the mud. God intended for His people to serve with love, with joy, with celebration. Because we of all people have reason to serve. We of all people have reason to celebrate. And one thing that we should learn as we go through this morning's message is serving is not easy. Jesus never said, I want you to serve and it's going to be just easy. In fact, He knew that it was going to be difficult. He knew that it was going to be a struggle. And He wanted for each one of us to know and to understand that we all have responsibilities. Sometimes serving goes above and beyond what we desire to do. Sometimes serving is getting outside of our comfort zone and serving when we really don't want to. Sometimes serving is saying, you know what? I know God's called me to serve, and instead of saying I know it, James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So we need to act in service, following the example that Jesus gave to us. So as we go through this morning's message, here's the question we want to focus upon, is how did Jesus teach us to serve? How did Jesus teach to serve? And number one, you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank, you take notes. He was encouragement. He was encouragement. The answer is given to us right in our text. If then there is encouragement, do this, is basically what it says. If there is encouragement in Christ, do this. Now, one thing I want to kind of bring to our attention, this if in the statement is not a supposition in that it's saying if it possibly happens. This if is a presupposition in saying it's already been attained. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He gave up and He humbled Himself, as we go through this morning's message. He emptied Himself for us. In that, what do we learn from that? If you learn nothing else this morning, we learn from the message that what Jesus, if there's any encouragement, then we live for Him. We empty ourselves. We humble ourselves. We don't follow after our own selfish desires. We follow after His guidance, His counsel, His example that He gave. Why? The only goal we have is serving, is to grow God's kingdom. Success, too often we're guilty of saying success is up here. With success, when all it really is obedience to what God has instructed for us to do. Serve. Serve Him and serve others. So He gave us encouragement. Big picture, this is what the encouragement we were given. We cannot go to Him. We cannot go to him. That is exactly why he came to us. He came to us so we could be in fellowship with him. Max Lucado wrote a book in 1985 called On the Anvil. In this book, he wrote a statement that grabbed my attention, and I may have shared it with you before. If so, I'm going to share it with you again, because it really impacted the way I think about teaching or serving, if you will. He wrote this: a teacher or a servant does not wait for the pupil to come to him. A teacher or a servant leaves where he is, goes to the student, and teaches him where he ought to be. In other words, the statement is this: we have to set self aside in order to reach people for Jesus Christ. In order to grow God's kingdom, self must be set aside. And we go for him. We learn from his encouragement. The place that the student ought to be is with Jesus. It's to know him more. Now, you've said it, I've said it, all God's children have said it. Now listen, we need to be saved. We don't get into heaven until we're saved. We need to be forgiven. We cannot get into heaven. In him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood to forgive us of sins. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Through life, when struggles come and difficulties happen, we need to be comforted. That's what Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to do and to accomplish. That's what Jesus sent us as his children to do and be there for one another. We need to be provided for. We may not be babies, we may be adults, but we need to be provided for. And God does the providing for each and every one of us. But I read this statement this past week that really grabbed my attention. Though we've all said that, I want you to listen to what it said. It said this: we need more of the Savior, not the saving. We need more of the forgiver, not the forgiving. We need more of the comforter, not the comforting. We need more of the provider and not the providing. In other words, we need more of Jesus, not just the things that he does. We need closer fellowship with Jesus. And when we have fellowship with Jesus, he gives us his attributes naturally. Something that he does. He provides. He forgives. Comforts. We need more of Jesus to be our focus as we serve God and serve one another. And this is what he's shared with us. As servants of Jesus, the question that we need to ask ourselves is this: are we bringing people to him? Are we bringing people to the provider? Are we bringing people to the comforter? Are we bringing people to the forgiver? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. If not, we've missed the point. We've missed the point if we're not bringing people to Jesus. If we're not showing and introducing them to Jesus. In these first four verses, speaking to us as Christians and our behavior as Christ's servants, Paul reveals our encouragement is found in Christ. And we are called to conduct our lives as if we were following Christ, as if we were his children. In other words, as we see this text, Paul is actually looking back to what he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. In that it says this: just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then I will come and see. Then I will hear about you. Then I will understand that you're standing firm in the Spirit, with one mind working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel. So let's just put it at the first statement that encompasses the entire verse of Scripture that we read. Just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. So the question becomes, as Greg was looking at this Scripture this week, at the text this week, Greg asked himself time and time again, am I living my life worthy of the gospel? Do my peers, when they see Greg Gnarl, do they say, Greg is living his life worthy of the gospel? And then I kept thinking about that question time and time again. Am I living a life worthy of the gospel? What do people think? And then the Lord really convicted my heart, and he said, you know what, Greg? It doesn't matter what other people think. Greg, here's what matters. Does Jesus see you, Greg, living your life in a manner worthy of the gospel? It doesn't matter what Johnny and Joe and Jeannie and anyone else thinks about how your life is living. God knows the content of our heart. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows the encouragement. That's what the encouragement Paul is referring to that he's brought to us. That word if. You see, Paul is instructing that the actions of Christ should be our actions. So that verse of Scripture, since then, there is encouragement. We should live our life in a manner that encourages. We should live our life in a manner that loves. Since then, there is encouragement. We should live our life in a manner that has fellowship with one another. We should live our life in a manner that reveals affection and mercy. This is the way that we're called to serve. We should serve by encouraging, by loving, by fellowshipping, by revealing affection and mercy for one another and for other people. That's how we reach the world for Jesus Christ. That's how we grow God's kingdom. That's how we're instructed to serve, following the encouragement that Jesus has given us with his scriptures. Remember, one thing that we need to remember is as Paul was writing this letter to the church of Philippi, Paul was in prison in Rome. He is waiting on his death sentence to take place. But in his last days, if you will, of his life, though this was not the last book, it could come at any given moment, he was still reaching out to encourage people in Jesus. He was writing to the church of Philippi. He was writing to Timothy. He was writing different epistles, as we see, of the 14 that he wrote, if you count Hebrews 13 that we know for certain. He was living in a life and fashion that he was encouraging others to stay the course as they serve and encourage one another along life's way, just like Jesus lived his life encouraging you to be in fellowship with the Father and to be in fellowship with one another. That's exactly what Jesus has taught for us to learn, to grow. So the encouragement is this: to live life worthy of the gospel, following Christ's example, serving others to grow God's kingdom. That is the primary function of the church, in that we are part of the body of. Number two, in your fill in the blank, how did Jesus teach to serve? Number two is he was emptied. He was emptied, as we see in verses 5 through 8. In these verses of Scripture, Paul shares that we should live like Christ. He is the example given to us. He emphasizes what Christ accomplished for us and how he emptied himself to do it. You see, Jesus was 100% man when he came, but he was also 100% God. The creator of all, the provider of all, the comforter of all those things that we talked about earlier. But he emptied himself of who he was. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. That's the reason that he emptied himself. That's the reason that we see in Scripture how we are called to reach a world for Jesus Christ. We have to empty ourselves of who we are. Follow the example that is given for Jesus. We're to fill ourselves with God's Holy Spirit. In that, it takes place automatically when we surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But too often, here's what we do. We quench the Spirit. And we stop serving. We become selfish instead of selfless. And we follow after our own desires instead of the direction that God calls for us to follow after. You see, there's three Greek words that here really explain what's being spoken of here in this text. And I'm going to quickly go through them. The Greek word kenoo means to empty yourself. Paul is saying that Jesus poured himself out because of his love for humanity. with each one of these definitions, you'll understand how we're called to the exact same thing. In other words, he left his position that was above all to come to us. Why? Because we could not go to him. Because we could not go in. The other Greek word, the next Greek word is doulos, meaning to put oneself in subjection to others. In other words, he became subject to punishment. That Greg Narl nailed him to the cross. My sins nailed Jesus to the cross. He came to this earth to be subject to my sins and to your sins. That's what he was willing to do and willing to accomplish. The third word we see is tapanoo, which means to bring low and to humiliate. Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lowering himself to do for us what we could not do. Why? Because he wanted us to be with him. He wanted us to be restored into fellowship with the Father. So as we see, what does this have to do with us serving? We take these three Greek words that we just looked at briefly, and we can come to an understanding that we need to empty ourselves of the outside elements, of the distractions that prevent us from serving. We need to empty ourselves of those things that are unimportant. We need to ask ourselves the question, does this have an eternal significance for Jesus Christ? Second, we see as we move forward to the next Greek word, we see that we need to become subject to the people that are around us. In other words, we need to be willing to be ridiculed, and we need to be willing to have those oppositions for people who don't want to hear about Jesus. Why? So we can share with them that there's hope found in Jesus. We need to be willing to empty ourselves in that fashion, in that manner, to where people can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how we grow God's kingdom. That's the only way we grow God's kingdom, by sharing with people who Jesus is. And the third Greek word, we need to be willing to humble ourselves. In other words, place others above ourselves. We see in verses 3 and 4 of our text, making sure that we understand that the interests of others, we should place them in more importance than the interests of ourselves. We're not about growing ourselves, though we should grow closer into Him. Live our manners worthy of the gospel. But we should mostly be concerned about growing God's kingdom, about bringing people to Jesus, they could have fellowship with the Provider, Comforter, the Forgiver, their Creator. The one that loves them more than anyone else could love them. You see, in other words, if my words and actions are no different from the world, how will we reach them? How will we reach people for Jesus? In service, every choice, every action that I make should bring honor, it should bring glory to Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us a command in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, which states this, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is how we serve others, by emptying ourselves, by loving others like Jesus commanded. You remember last week in Galatians 6:10, when we was going through that text, and it says, do good unto all men, comma, especially those of the household of faith. You see, God calls for us to be united, be together, serve together. See, because one person can accomplish much, yes, and we do accomplish it individually. But when the world sees a team, when the world sees a church, hand in hand, side by side, arm in arm, facing whatever comes our way, trusting the Father along the way, they see a difference made. They see someone who is following a Savior. They see someone who has hope found in Jesus. And church, that's exactly how we're to live side by side, hand in hand, arm in arm together, emptying ourselves to glorify His name. Someone told me yesterday, and it really grabbed my attention, and we raised about $3,800 for the building fund, praise the Lord. $400+ from the fund run that they had, there's $4,200. Praise the Lord. That's a lot more money than we had when we started. But here's what they said to me. You know what, Greg? This is a lot of work. A lot of work. You go to somebody's house and pick up some stuff and bring it back up here, set it up, get it ready. It's a lot of work. A lot of work, Greg. But you know what? Here's what this is. I've not had close fellowship with these people that's been here. And I've grown closer, not a relationship with them. But you know what, Greg? It's even more worth it. Because I know that I've set out in a fashion to bring honor and glory to His name, to grow His kingdom. Because that's what that building is all about. That's what this church building is all about. It's not about Greg. It's not about me, deacons. It's not about any music director. It's about Jesus Christ and growing His kingdom for Him, for His honor, and for His glory. Amen. It's not about Greg's wants, Greg's desires, what Greg wants, or anyone else wants. It's about what does Jesus want, what does He want for us to do. That's how we empty ourselves. That grabbed my attention, folks. Be excited to serve. Be tired while we serve. But know that it brings honor and glory to His name, because one day somebody's going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the deeds that Jesus did through us.
Amen.
Not because of what we do, because of what He does. That's where we should be, church. Life is difficult enough to face life every day, and if you face it without Jesus, I don't know what to say other than I'll pray for you. If I can't live one step without Jesus there.
Amen.
Jesus in fact Himself said in John 15:5, without Me, you can do nothing. Why do we serve? Why do we serve together? For Jesus. For His honor. Because there's someone in Union Grove, Alabama, in the surrounding area that's lost and headed for a place called hell that needs to hear the gospel message that there's hope found in Jesus. There's salvation found in Jesus. And that's why we're building that building. If we're building it for any other reason, I don't want to be part of it. Because it's for His honor and His glory alone. That's the attitude we can have. Even if the building has rooms where we don't want it. Rooms not as large as we want. Rooms in a different location than we wanted. A room that we didn't want to begin with. It don't matter what room it is, but if God leads us there, Jesus is preached within it, taught within it. If people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't care about another thing inside of itself. If we bring honor and glory to His name and plain sense, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I know that God set us out to accomplish a task, and He set it right in front of us. And He does not make mistakes. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, will I empty myself? Get out of the way and let Him live. Drink all of what you know. In a circle. Jesus will lead you, and He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. That's how much love, how much desire He has for you. That's how much love, how much desire He has for people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the question we have to ask ourselves, have we emptied ourselves for this last point in this morning's message? Number three, we fill in the blank. How did Jesus teach to serve? He was exalted. He was exalted. All along the way, He pointed to Jesus. Jesus prayed the prayer, Father, I have pointed them to You, and You have lifted me up. And we see within our text, there's no other name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 specifically, there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. If we do not exalt Jesus as a church, as we serve, we've missed the mark. We've missed the point.
We've missed the step. But here's one thing that we can take from God's promises.
1 John 1:9 says, if we can repent our sins, confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and restore us to righteousness. It's the promise He gives us.
You see, God is the equipper of church. God is the equipper of who, those who fill the church.
In that there's pastors, there's music directors, there's Sunday school teachers, there's families, there's married couples, there's life that is struggling within the walls of this church.
We need to be willing to empty ourselves and exalt Him through the process. Even if we are the one facing something that we have directed our path that we do not want to go down.
Promises will never leave us or forsake us.
Much love has for us. We need to keep living for Him, following after Him, being obedient to Him. You see, this text reveals to us that He was exalted. Praise the Lord that what He came to accomplish, He accomplished it all upon the cross. And the gospel truth, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because something happened. Something happened. And it happened for you. It happened for those in our community as well. You see, one thing that we're too often guilty of is the world around us, they'll say, Bible shares in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's true. But not every tongue will be able to confess Him as Savior. Because that choice is made right here and right now. So I ask you the question this morning as we get ready for a song of invitation. Where will you spend eternity? Is your service for your Savior pointing towards people knowing Jesus? Are you proclaiming Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords right here and right now? Are you sharing with the world that there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ? You see, our service for Jesus reflects our heart condition. Let that sink in for a moment. Our service for Jesus reflects our heart condition. So that means if I'm not serving, where's my heart condition? So ask yourself the question, what does my heart look like? What does my service for Jesus look like? Step number one, surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do not deserve anything but separation in hell. Two of my favorite words in the Bible is, but God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's there for the taking that you must surrender to. You must call upon Him as Lord of your life, right here and right now. If you have heard nothing else this morning, I want you to hear one last verse of Scripture that encompasses the entire message this morning. John chapter 3, verse 30. I must decrease. Touch their hearts. Be with them as they serve.
us, Lord, to serve you and follow your example. Father, may we set out to bring one honor, Lord, in your name. Father, may we set out to grow your kingdom by growing people of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Father, may we intentionally bring people to the provider, to the comforter, to the forgiver. Father, may we introduce them to Jesus, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, may we introduce them to Jesus, who is up there, is no name under heaven where man must be saved. Father, may we bring people to Jesus. Lord, may it start with you. Father, if there's one here that does not know your Son, Jesus, Lord and Savior, Father, I pray, Lord, that today we can